If you're in business, you probably have a website, but can your site handle your growth? How many visitors before your site slows down or crashes? What about storage and data security? From web hosting to virtual servers, Pear Networks provides the online infrastructure you need to start, grow, and flourish. When it comes to security and updates, don't worry, we've got you covered. Our 24/7 US-based customer support is the best in the industry. No frustrating chatbots or sitting on hold for hours. Check out pear.com today to learn more. That's PAIR.com.
This episode of the Old Dogs REI Network is brought to you by Mino Studio. Welcome to the Old Dogs REI Network, where cash flow is king. Real estate investing, the means, so you can enjoy your retirement dreams. This is the show where we cut right to the chase. No sales pitch, no long monologues, just simple how-to real estate investing advice, so you can earn the passive income you need to enjoy your retirement today. And now, your host and chief old dog, Bill Manicero.
Hello, old dogs, and welcome to
Fun Facts Friday.
This is our once a week, only on Friday show, where we have special episodes not featuring guests, where I will share tricks, tips, terminology, and techniques that will help skyrocket you to real estate investing success. Today's topic is, has the housing crash already started? But before we get started, before we get started with our podcast here, I just want to touch base with you guys and hope everybody's doing okay out there. Good to see a lot of people back at work and a lot of the COVID restrictions lifted, and seems like things are moving ahead here, which is good. I'm going to talk a little bit today about something that that I think will hopefully encourage you, but nonetheless, before we get into it, let me give you the tip of the week. Don't forget about asset protection. Now, we've talked about this subject on this show. We've had some great attorneys on that have offered various ways to protect your properties and your personal possessions. And this is something that I think is really, really important, especially as you start building a portfolio. Now, you know, you can spend all those hours studying books and going to boot camps and all that, sifting through countless numbers of potential sellers and inspecting every type of property imaginable. Through your own persistence, you've put deal after upon deal together and built a substantial portfolio of properties, not to mention a sizable bank account, only to have some crazy person here sue you for something stupid and take it all away from you. You should learn about asset protection just as diligently as you learn about real estate investing. You must not hold any assets in your name, whether it be real estate, bank accounts, automobiles, boats, businesses. This should be your goal. If an attorney does an asset search with your name in it, he should come away thinking, oh man, this guy's a deadbeat, because you won't see everything that you possess. Each of your properties should be purchased in a trust or corporation. And we talk about this extensively. If you just do a search on our website under asset protection, you'll find a number of different ways to do this. And they involve LLCs, they talk about living trusts, DSTs, a whole bunch of different avenues that you can use to protect yourself. Your bank accounts should also be in trust. Your home, automobile, boats should all be hidden in asset protection devices. Speak with an asset protection attorney to find out which asset protection vehicle you should be in. You've worked too hard for yourself and your family to have someone come along and remove every dime from your pockets. This is definitely worth doing. So take it seriously and do your homework. You could start just by a search on our website. Go into the little, there's like a little magnifying glass. You click on it, and you can just type in asset protection. You'll find a number of great podcasts and some blog articles that'll help you at least get started. All right, well, let's get on to our topic today. Has the housing crash already started? Now, I know that this one's been batted around. I've talked about it here before. Other people have talked about it on my shows. How can, you know, people, I think, will probably ask, how can you say a housing crash has started when there's still bidding wars, there's huge cash offers over asking price still going on out there? Yeah, this stuff is still all happening, but there are other things that are trending that are definitely showing signs of a change in the market. Now, you're going to see those bidding wars and still people paying over asking price, but I would say it would be in markets where there are already, you know, very, you know, it's very nice homes and good locations. But the majority of the U.S. doesn't fit into that scenario. And already we're starting to see things. We're seeing a softening in the housing market. For the last 4 months, there's been trends downward in existing home sales. Active listings are down 4 months in a row. Days on the market is expanding. That's going up. Price cuts have continued. Again, they're up for the 4 months in a row as well. So these are a few indicators, but I'm going to get into some others that I think will be really helpful for you. The first of these is mortgage purchase applications. Okay. These have dropped to 2019 levels. Now, data collected by the Mortgage Bankers Association, and it's a specific graph you'll look at called Mortgage Purchase Index, shows that mortgage applications for new home purchases are down 25% from February to June. This means that a lot fewer people are actually putting in applications for a home now compared to 4 months ago. In fact, the mortgage purchase application figure is now back, as I mentioned, mid-2019 levels. Post-COVID, we had a surge of, I would say, people that are well off financially that bought that brought those numbers up. They're buying a lot of homes after COVID, which is going to bring buying down to sort of the middle to lower income buyers, which are a lot different to deal with than those that really have bigger pockets, should I say, not to quote the nice company out there that helps real estate investors. But those are, you know, this is a major trend that you're seeing. And I'm going to also leave you the links to these various places where you can trace this yourself. You can track down and follow these indicators here. These are not the only indicators, but these are three that are really obvious right now. The next one is the construction of new homes. Now, you might think it might be down, especially when you think of lumber prices and so forth. Well, that's not true. New home construction is, over the last 12 months, is at a 15-year high. That's right. We've been hearing of the shortage of housing inventory for quite some time. Well, builders have jumped on that, and now there's building going up all over the place. This flies in the face of what you're hearing in the news. Home builders are building a lot just as the demand for homes is declining, okay? And this is kind of the indicator that something is happening here. They're building all of these homes, but the demand, if we look at the mortgage purchase applications, is declining. Now, that's a really nasty combination. This is occurring just as home builders are beginning construction on a record amount of new homes. Over the past 12 months, over 1.55 million new housing starts have occurred, according to data from the Office of Housing and Urban Development, HUD, and the U.S. Census Bureau. That's a 17% increase. That means the United States will have significantly more new home inventory hitting the market in late 2021 and early 2022. So this is another. So we've got all these homes being built. We have right now a decline in the homes being purchased. Okay. And then we have a third thing. And I talked about lumber prices. Well, we all know it was surging. Well, now it's been declining, and it's significantly. This is showing huge instability in the market. On top of this, the cost of lumber, which was soaring for many months, has started to crash. Now, if you remember, it started at around 478 for 1,000 board feet. That's how they measure this on this graph. It started at around 478 for 1,000 board feet in October of 2020. Then it went up to a peak of 1,678 in May of 2021. That's right. That is a huge leap, okay, from 478 to 1,678. And now, though, however, it's down 30% from its early May peak. Lower lumber prices mean that builders won't have to charge as much to cover the cost of homes. This also means that the narrative surrounding the housing market could shift into negative territory in coming months. So you have this, and I know a lot of you are saying, hey, I was just at Home Depot, and it doesn't look like they got the word that lumber prices are down. Believe me, you're going to see it. And I think in high demand areas, they're going to probably hold on to those high prices as much as they can until it gets to be a competitive situation. See, so those are three main indicators that are really strong right now. There are some other key factors here. When home prices increase faster than wages and income, they will at some point have to come back down to meet wages and income. It's just an economic rule that proves itself time and time again, market after market. Right now, the indicator is, if you look at the mortgage applications, people are saying, I'm done with this. I'm not going to pay these ridiculous prices. And so now, yeah, you have to look at the fact that, there's a longer time in the market now, and then it's slowing down the number of sales. And then you have other things that are happening. Eviction and moratoriums are coming off. These are also going to have an impact here. I mean, just with these three indicators, it's a strong, strong possibility that other things can happen. Now, I mentioned, let's say, things like forbearance, eviction. Those are coming off within this month and next month. The extra unemployment money will end in September. There's also people that are right now, they're looking at foreclosure and they're postponing foreclosures. And we don't hear a lot about it, but it's still going on. The indicator here is that, maybe these things happening will start to cool the market, and that may trigger the beginning of a crash. Now, we're already on a downward move. What I would recommend is looking at these three areas and monitor them. If they continue on a downward decline, things are going to definitely change. Now, usually this time of year, there's, price declines because it's just a summer, doldrums. Those of you in real estate out there know this. Prices traditionally will go down. People are reducing prices so they can sell before school. And that has happened. You can see it, again, looking at charts for 2018, 2019, even 2020, you'll see these changes. But instead, they are 20% higher than 2018 and 2019. And they're not going down, they're going up. So this was a huge shift. Yet you have the same number of new listings hitting the market. However, what happens is you look at just recently, okay, within the last month or so, buyers are indicating that they're saying enough is enough. And that market trend, okay, is turning downward. And it's taken a deep dive. And when this happens, there turns out to be a sort of a stagnation in the market, and inventory starts increasing. So this, you have the increasing here from just people not, paying those higher prices to this slew of new homes that are being built. Now, granted, they haven't been building that long. It usually takes, you know, an 18-month cycle to do a, you know, a condo or to do a, you know, maybe a development, so forth. It takes some time. So once those homes are on the market, we're going to all of a sudden go from having, you know, a shortage of inventory to having more than we can handle. And so prices will have to adjust to get people to buy. Just in summary here, I just want you guys to think about this and you know, maybe start monitoring some of these areas. And there's a lot of other good places that you can look as well. Remember, you know, I've talked in this show about emerging markets a number of times. We've had guests on that have talked about emerging markets. And, you know, those are, you'll look at like little hills going up, down, up, down, up, down, forming what look like bells, okay? We call those bell curves. And you don't want to buy property when the bell, when you're on the backside of that bell and it's going down, right? You want to ultimately, when it bottoms out, okay, you want to keep monitoring and you start to see prices creeping up. That's the best time to buy because, you know, it's a long ways away from a new top of the bubble there or the top of the bell curve. So that's the best time to buy. That's when prices are really low. That's like 2008, 2009, when a lot of people bought and made some killings in the market, just buying homes when they were less expensive, because you know they're going to go up. And if you can, you know, sort of hold on to your cash, be patient, you know, you're going to see some great things happening. Ideally, you want to time the market where prices as well have gone down, but interest rates have not gone up yet. Okay, so that's a good thing. When interest rates start to rise, it starts to shift that equation a little bit, and there could be a change in the market. The place to watch is, I would say, 10-year treasury rates. And again, you can just do a Google search on that and just monitor those. But recently, it has been trending down, which is really good for mortgage rates. And this, you know, again, this with the interest rates down and the market going down, you can see some pretty good things happening. This could basically create a less competitive market. So you're not going to have the bidding wars. You're not going to have people paying above asking. In fact, prices will be adjusted so that people can buy. So a little patience can go a long way if you're willing to wait it out here and to see what happens. Again, they could bounce up. You know, I don't really know. I'm just saying that these are indicators that are really obvious right now. I would say if it continues like this, maybe by the end of the year, there could be some incredible opportunities, or maybe it may have to wait until the end of next year. But either way, I think that there are some good opportunities out there for those that are willing to wait. Well, that's it for today. Please note, old dog listeners, everything presented here today can be accessed in our show notes on the Old Dogs website at olddogsreinetwork.com/blog. And you're going to look for the episode entitled, "Has the Housing Crash Already Started?" Now, remember that I mentioned to you those links are there so that you can start tracking this information yourself and maybe add a few other links to that, like treasury bills and so forth. Again, look for the episode entitled, "Has the Housing Crash Already Started?" Well, that's the show for today. Remember, cash flow is king and real estate investing the means. Until next time, keep moving forward and may God bless.
Thank you very much for visiting the Old Dogs REI Network. We would greatly appreciate if you would stop by iTunes and let us know what you think of the show. We would love if you could subscribe to the podcast, give us a 5-star rating, and write a review. The more ratings and reviews we receive, the more visible the podcast will be to others. Thank you.
And now another no-brainer money-saving tip from Progressive.
Marcus, what happened?
I was changing my oil and I spilled some on the floor.
Oh, well, use these $50 bills to wipe it up.
Perfect. Got any more?
Yeah, take a couple hundred.
Stop. Instead of using money, use an old rag. And here's a better tip from Progressive on how not to waste money. Don't pay too much for car insurance. Drivers who switch and save could save hundreds. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary.